Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 199, stanzas 1 through 5. His saints shall live, and to the King rich gifts in tribute shall be paid. His praises men shall ever sing, for him shall endless prayer be made. 1 through 5 of Psalter 199.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and thereof chapter 28, beginning with verse 16 to the end. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Thus far, Scripture reading. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 of your Psalter. The form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto to us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, Whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision. Therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, and thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected the believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And what is your answer, Father and Mother Van Wyk? What is your answer, Father and Mother Van Hagenbos? Dear parents, baptism that is a part, as we have just heard from God's word, of the Great Commission that was given unto the disciples. Connected to this is instruction, because they were commanded first to teach. We hope, the Lord willing, to hear something about this in this hour. As an adult, then naturally, when we are baptized, instruction must go before baptism, because a person in a natural way needs to understand the meaning of that baptism. And not only so, but the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord must go before this baptism. When we are baptized as a child, it is not so. But in a very natural way, that instruction that must come after baptism. That is a very, very great privilege. Even as a child, as your children, when they are born into this world, in this country, become the citizens thereof, and are taught by you what that means for them, that great, great privilege which they receive without their understanding, so also your children are born under the administration of the word and sacrament. And thus, they are in that way a member of the visible, the outward church, which gives to them very, very great privileges. In time to come, we hope that that instruction that is given to your children may also be sanctified, and that they may have a desire to take over this promise that you have made to themselves, make that confession of faith. Therefore, instruction, how Great is the importance of instruction that begins not when our child has become old, but we have mentioned some of those things in your households that begins already when your child is very, very young. Obedience. What does the Lord require of His people? That is obedience. We can hear in the prayer of Christ Himself, "Not my will, but thine be done." And this also a child, a very small, small child, he must learn when he is very, very young. A child who does not obey father and mother is a child who does not obey his teacher, is a child who does not obey the government, is a child who does not obey the law, and is a child that does not understand the prayer of Christ, the desire of Christ, that he may do not his own will, but that he may do the will of his Father. Therefore, even as your child is extremely young, let him learn in the first place obedience, and that this instruction in obedience may flower, and that it may grow to instruction out of the holy word of God, the doctrines of the word of God, the meaning also of this baptism that is placed upon his forehead. May the Lord remember you in the bringing up of your children, in the instruction of your children. But it does not end with our instruction, because if we would leave it there, then there is cause for us to be very discouraged. Because from our side, then there will be nothing but shortcomings. But what is now the comfort for you and for your children in baptism? That is the promise of the Lord. That is that he says that he will instruct his people. And this is now what you may lay before the Lord. And when you may say that my child, that I myself am baptized, and that you may be given to plead that you are not able to instruct them as they really need to be instructed, and that Spirit of the Lord may give to them that knowledge of Him which will be to His glory and the comfort of the souls of yourselves and your children. So be it. After baptism, we ask the congregation to arise and to sing stanzas 5 of 425. But while the children are being brought in, we'd like to sing from Psalter 48, stanzas 7 and 8. Both rich and poor, both bond and free, shall worship him with bended knee. And children's children shall proclaim the glorious honor of his name. And what follows in the 8th verse, 7 and 8 of Psalter 48. Thank you. Nathan Garrett, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Liam Jacob, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and hath received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally and praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents in that labor that Thou hast laid upon their shoulders, that they may receive themselves that grace that is pictured therein, in holy baptism, that they could not miss that blessing for their own soul in the first place. For how can we teach others when we are not taught ourselves? O Lord, that thou may give them that need to burn within, do supply what is necessary in the upbringing in every way. May all things tend to thy glory and to the welfare of soul and body. Remember the grandparents when thou knowest also what lives within their hearts, that thou may give gladness therein, those also that may be here from far away, to witness their own grandchildren to become a member of thy church. O Lord, that in their hearts, as grandparents also may be a sigh and a cry, and that thou wouldst fulfill it in thy own time. Do remember thy people, for it is a sacrament which is for the increase and for the exercise of that most holy faith. And thou knowest how discouraged that they can be, that there seems to be so much barrenness, not only within, but also within thy church. But dost thou not say it in thy holy word? Sing, O barren, and thou that didst not bear, sing and cry aloud, thou that didst not bring forth a child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. And that thou wouldst increase thy church in the time of the coming of thy dear Son, so that it shall go out not only to the Jewish nation, but also to all the world. And so we stand and sit here under word and sacrament in this day. O Lord, wilt thou fulfill it, that we may be given truly to sing aloud, when we may see that there are those who are brought into thy church by a true and a living faith. Could it please thee to bless word and sacrament in the midst of us as a congregation in such a way, and that it all may never testify against us in that great day of days, but that all the labors may be for the upbuilding and the increase of thy church, for the glory of thy name, for the saving of our souls and those of our seed. Look upon us in this hour. Wilt thou help all those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this world? Oh, give that there may be more that may be called by thee to that work, that they may go forth amongst a Jew and Gentile, that thy kingdom may come and that thy will may be done. Wilt thou give also that it may continue even in our own school? For Satan, he has aimed his arrows against it. O Lord, we beseech thee, because thou alone art able to care for us and for our children. And the promise that lies with thee, O Lord, thou hast said it, and shalt thou not do it? Hast thou not spoken, and shalt thou not make it good? Oh, that thou wouldst put away all the devices, O Lord. Wilt thou fight for us, because we have no strength against the enemy that cometh against us? Do increase the number of those who have new hearts and that have a desire to give their life over even unto that work, to educate our seed, to educate our children. Give that there may be more, especially of the men, that may be enabled by thee to do this labor. Lord, remember us also in this hour. Be on our right and on our left.
Lord, strengthen us to do our labors if it could please thee here in our church. And may thou bless those labors. Help us in this hour. Be in our midst. Forgive our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 176, all the stanzas. O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 176. beloved congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon, and the Lord willing, this coming Thursday and next Sunday, we hope to consider that portion that was read to us out of Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And in this afternoon, especially verse 19 and the beginning of verse 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20a. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. As so far the words of our text. This portion from verse 16 through verse 20 that speaks about the institution of the Christian ministry. And we wish to consider first the divine commission, second, a comforting assurance, and third, a blessed promise. Thus, the institution of the Christian ministry, and in this afternoon, for a little while, just this first part, the divine commission. And we wish to speak about first the persons that were affected by this divine commission. And in the second place, the work that was commanded in this divine commission. So the institution of the Christian ministry by a divine commission, first the persons affected, and second the work commanded. We read that Luke writes in Acts 1 that the Lord Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, that he showed himself, that he revealed himself to his disciples for 40 days. And that he showed himself that he was not in the grave anymore, but that he lived. That was a very blessed time for the disciples and also the other followers of the Lord Jesus, that they may know when he appeared again the truth of his life. That is so necessary always for God's true church. Why? Because faith that is not a fruit of their own field in the first place. And in the second place, the salvation of their soul, that is not just an insignificant matter, but that is a matter that for their own soul, they feel needs to be well grounded. It needs to be grounded upon a rock. What more pleasant thing is there than the appearance of the Lord Jesus? Do you know what that is? For the Lord Jesus to appear, for the Lord Jesus to show himself, because there is nothing in the whole world that a person can see that is so precious and so beautiful as when the Lord Jesus would appear unto us. The Lord Jesus says to his church concerning her, he says, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one look of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. You can imagine that when that church may see him, that she says also with the bride, and then I held him, and I would not let him go. I think Mary did not want to let him go either. And there are people who understand what it is to see him, and that they have a desire that he would never go away. You can be sure those disciples, they have have desired, they have cherished these appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. Both on the Sabbath days, the first two Sabbath days we read, and then also during the week, would we have a desire that the Lord Jesus would appear also to us in such a way? We do not know exactly how many times that the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples. We can read of perhaps 10 times, 11 times, 12 times. We do not know whether some of them are the same appearances or perhaps a different appearance that are explained in the Gospels. But this visit that we can read of in our text that is taking place, we read, upon the mountain of Galilee. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Before the suffering of the Lord Jesus, then the Lord Jesus already said to his disciples that after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And we can read the reminder that the women, they are told by the angel after his resurrection to tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. We do not read that there were any present here at this time besides these 11 disciples. That was a long way, boys and girls. They had to go from Judea all the way up to the north into Galilee in order that they may see Jesus. How long would you want to travel? They had to walk. And then they would become tired. But they did not hesitate to go. Why not? Because they knew what it was to see Jesus. And if we know something what that is, then we are willing to go a long way if we may know that we may also once again see him. Most of the other visits of the Lord Jesus to his disciples were a surprise. He did not tell them that he was coming, but he came to them in a time when they were together. But this one, this was a visit which was commanded them. This was a special visit. He told them where that they should meet him. Christ, he is often a hidden person. For the church of God, then he is coming most of the time in such a surprising way. When? It is often. It is often when actually they think the Lord is not alive anymore. When they have not heard from him, and when they despair of hearing from him, and then their Lord is. And their Christ, he is showing his face to them. But here we read that he told them there is one place that the church, they may expect him. Do you know where it is, young people? It is in the gatherings of his people, that is, in his house. Because that is the place where he is promising that he will be there. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he says, am I in the midst of them? This meeting with the 11 disciples that had everything to do with his house. Say, that was not in his house, that was not in the synagogue, no. But it had everything to do with it. Why? Because it is the institution, the official institution of the Christian ministry. Thus, 3 years, the Lord Jesus has been instructing his disciples in the things that are pertaining unto the kingdom of God. And now the Lord Jesus, he gives to them a charge, and he sends them forth. Thus, that church that is bought by Christ, that price that is completely paid, that receipt has been received by him from his Father in the resurrection of the dead. And now a new time for that church has ensued. So it is now the time that that word that will begin to go forth for the gathering in of that church of God. That is for the application of the word. How will the Lord do this? How will the Lord gather his church? He has many means. He can do that without means if he desired. But he has here, we can read, his own choice. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thus, it is the commission that is received of the disciples from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is received by the disciples. We would say, why is that not received by those creatures of God which could give a more majestic impression unto the people? For example, when the Lord had placed this work upon an angel, upon the holy angels to come from heaven, and that they may appear over the face of the earth, would that not be much more striking to men? So that they would fear at the divine glory, so that they would have impressions of the majesty of God, when they heard the word of God? Ought not the Lord to have chosen a different instrument for the bringing forth of his word, for the gathering of his church that would be more powerful? What does the Lord Jesus say? He says that even if the dead were raised, if our ancestors would appear from the dead, and not only from the dead, but if a man came from hell, to describe to us where we are going by nature, that we would not hear him if we would not hear that word of God. We live in a day wherein our world, our Christian world, is much enamored with outward things. That is, an outward representation of power, an outward representation of love, of affection. But this is not what makes a man born again. It is not in outward things. What kind of men were these disciples? What do we read of them? We read, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. They worshipped him. What kind of men were the disciples? They were worshippers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, they were men who were taught by the Lord. They were men who were well acquainted with the state of humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were eyewitnesses of his humiliation. They were eyewitnesses of all of his sufferings. Even as the Jewish nation, as the Jewish people, they were also eyewitnesses of that humiliation. And yet we read that the disciples, they worshipped him. But we do not read this about the Jews. Thus, there was not that which was outward to convince a man. But it was only that which was inward. The disciples, they are convinced of the divinity of Christ. They do not love Him just as we love a friend, but they loved Him as the divine being. They revered Him. They bowed before Him. They worshipped Him as God. Thus, convinced of His divine nature, before Christ is sending out His servants into that ministry, then He teaches them to worship Him. It cannot be otherwise. And yet, we read that some doubted. Thus, the truth existing within them does not preclude any doubt, or does not preclude all doubt, even in the ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if these men were strangers of that warfare that is living, that is working every moment in the heart of God's church, how shall they preach from the housetops what is taking place in their inner chamber? The true church that is not ready to be imposed upon. In other words, that true church is not ready to take the salvation of their soul for granted, as if that is a matter of yea or nay, as if that is a matter which can be done outside of a true, solid assurance for themselves, that they need to know, is it of the Lord? Is it not of the Lord? Yes or no? Therefore, Jesus, we read, He draws nigh to them. Therefore, Jesus, we read, He speaks unto His disciples. For what reason? That He may convince them, and that He may make them to be assured that this is no vision that they see, but this is He that is actually alive. And He has done so before, and now He does it again. Why? Because we say the best assurance that is the last visit. And that doubt that is not taken out of that church except by the Lord Himself, often not in one moment, often not in one visit, but the Lord, He must establish His own people. And then it is often time and time again that unbelief needs to be driven out of the life, of the heart, of the soul of that people. For whom was that more necessary than for the disciples themselves, and then especially at such a time, when now they will receive a commission, and when now they will be sent forth into all the world? Then you understand that it will be so necessary that they are going out with an affirmation, with a confirmation from the Lord Himself. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. At the first calling of Christ, then we read that He sends forth His disciples, but He sends them forth only amongst the nation of the Jews. He says, go not forth into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go forth unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord Jesus Himself, when that Canaanitish woman came to Him in her need and in her great request, then the Lord Jesus said to her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thus the Jewish nation, they will receive the first opportunity from the Lord. That is in His sovereignty. Amidst all the nations of the world, then the Lord says, this is the people that I have chosen for myself. And distinguished them, he says, through Moses from every other nation from whom he has withheld for the most part, except for proselytes, as an indication of what would someday come. He has withheld it from all the other nations of the world. The Jews, in their crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, have rejected their king. They have said that we have no king but Caesar. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, then we can read that the Lord Jesus gives to his disciples another charge. It is a different charge. Go ye therefore, he says, and teach all nations. Thus, the Lord Jesus now tells them that their field of labor that has increased, and they are now to go forth also unto the Gentiles. Does not say that they go no more to the Jews, because the Lord Jesus says specifically, beginning at Jerusalem, but every other nation, they are now going to receive that word the same as that Jewish nation has received it before. Thus the Lord, he is going to gather his church out of the entire world. This will now be the ecclesiastical church of God that is consisting both of Jew and of Gentile. That Jewish people, they have rejected him as a nation. As a nation, they will never more be a nation as a theocratic people, but they will be included in the gathering of his church, the same as every other nation will be included in the entire world. Thus, his people, they will come from all nations. The Lord says that people, that branch was broken off. It was broken off for a time, and the Gentiles, they were grafted in. But the Lord says he is able to graft that people in again. That means that they also will be included in the number when the Lord is making up his church. But this divine commission of Christ is the beginning of the preaching of the word of the gospel to us. To us and to our children. Because remember, children, young people, before this time, then all the other nations, except for that Jewish nation, they were included, and we were on the outside. Thus, what has taken place in this morning among us, and what we take for granted, you and I, that is happening over and over again. It was not always. Thus, who can rightly estimate the blessing that we may have baptism in our midst over and over again? And that word of God may come to us and unto our children. What a responsibility. Then have we with that word and also this sacrament. But let us sing first. 257. stanzas 3 and 4. Let all the peoples of the earth give glory to the Lord. Give Him the glory due His name, and strength to Him accord. 3 and 4 of Psalter 257. Our second thought, the work commanded, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Thus teaching is the means by which Christ will gather His church, in order that the Spirit of the Lord may work within them. What is that to teach? That is to instruct. That is actually to make a disciple of. That is to make a follower of. Thus we read, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Why do we need to be taught? Well, because by nature we have no knowledge of Christ. We're ignorant of Christ. In the second place, because by nature we are not a disciple of Christ. We are not a follower of Christ. Does that ever burden you? Do you ever say in your heart, Christ, that is the name that God's children love. I am therefore on the outside. Because if I have to be honest, I do not know who He is. Nor do I love Him. Hence, the ministry, the necessity of the ministry that Christ has instituted, and also the object and the purpose of that ministry. How long have you been under that ministry? Has the purpose of that ministry ever been fulfilled in your own heart? Paul says there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And by nature, no room, not in my heart, not in my life, but it has to become different. It has to become different between the cradle and the grave. What think ye of Christ? How is that in the life of God's people? Christ, He says to His disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thus, He distinguishes between the persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those distinctions we can find in the Old Testament. We think about the creation when the Lord, He says, let us make man in our image. Then there is a mention of the Trinity. We can hear about the Son when God speaks unto Satan, and when He says that He will put enmity between thee and the woman, then He speaks about the Son. But you can hear how all things concerning that Trinity are in the Old Testament under a cloud, under a certain darkness. And so it remained until the time that Christ revealed Himself, that He came into this world. And in that revelation of Himself in the world, it began to become different. But whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We can even hear it in the exclamation at the cross of the centurion, truly, this man was the Son of God. The church, in her infancy, that is, children, when the church, when a boy or a girl, when they are born again, that is the church in their infancy. Then the Lord Jesus says, even a man, he must become like a little child. That's what happens in the new birth. But in the new birth, they do not have then all that instruction all at one time. No, then there is no distinguishing between the persons of the Godhead, between the persons of the Trinity. Thus, there can be much love to God without any knowledge of the Son. as being distinct, of course, from the Father. Christ, he said to his disciples, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not, he says, your heart be troubled. Thus, faith in God the Father as judge, without faith in God the Son as mediator, is leaving a man's heart troubled. Outside of the knowledge of the Son, the soul is not able to exist before the Father. He cannot approach to Him. He cannot commune with Him. Thus is your heart troubled. The Spirit of the Lord is the one who reveals the Son to those whose heart is troubled because of the knowledge of the Father as the judge. He reveals the Son. He takes the covering off of the Son. He reveals Him in, our young people know it, in His names, in His offices, in His natures, in His states, in His benefits. So many things about the Son, each one in particular for His children. This one thing, this one something else concerning the Son, but showing something of that fullness of that mediator and how that a man can exist before the Father. Thus the knowledge of the Son, that is the knowledge of grace, of free and sovereign grace. And when He reveals Himself, that is now the first time that a man has some cognizance, has some understanding about the distinction in the persons of the Trinity. We mean not with his mind, we cannot understand it with our mind, but in the experience of his soul. It is one thing to experience the judge, it is another thing to experience a mediator. Thus, the distinctions, they are now becoming evident between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We never read it so clear as when the disciples are sent forth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, we hope to hear that soon also, poured out in the day of Pentecost, never known in the world, to such an extent and in such a way as he has been after that he is personally revealed in the world. The same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an indwelling that also may be known by the church itself. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, Paul says, that we are the sons of God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Do you have need also of such an instruction? Because it is one thing to be baptized as we are. That is the command of Christ to the entire visible church. But do we need that inward baptism? Baptism, what does that mean? That means it can have several meanings. It can mean to dip. It can mean to bathe, to engulf. And it can mean simply to wash, to cleanse. It signifies a renewal, an entire renewal of an old man into a new man. By Ezekiel, the Lord says, he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. from all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. David, he says, that is what I need. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And when Christ, he is sending out his apostles that they may baptize in the name of that triune God, then he is declaring the interest of the triune God in the salvation of his church. They are all three one. To have an interest in one is to have an interest in all, because they are inseparable. What greater comfort can there be for a people who cannot find anything but guilt and filth and pollution in their own heart and life? It is a sinful existence that they have before God. Unclean. Unclean. But Paul, he declares the interest of that triune God in the salvation of his church. He says, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All three persons have an interest and are looking for that church. Oh, that Christian ministry that was ordained for a purpose, and that was to declare the will of the triune God. What does that God say? He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn unto me and live. You know that father of the prodigal. He was looking. He was looking. He was waiting that when his son would return, and then we can read he is running unto him. Or what is now the experience of that people? Because when the Spirit is now convincing, that Spirit of the Lord, when he is convincing of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, then the Father, he is looking for the fruit of the work of the Spirit, that they are coming, that they are coming, and that they are ready to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And then the Son, he is ready. He is ready to stand for that people in that judgment, because it is the work of his own Spirit. Oh, then it is impossible that that people be turned away. The fruit of the Spirit, that is the Spirit of Christ himself. That is his own work. And thus the Son, he is ready. He is waiting. And he is ready to speak for that people as a surety in that judgment, and the Father as judge. He is ready to declare that forgiveness, and that a Father as Father. He is ready to receive them again into his blessed communion with himself. O congregation, what a privilege. We and our children, our seed, to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is not without teaching. That is Roman Catholic. Superstition, no. It is under the instruction of the meaning of that baptism. And the Lord, he explains it unto us in his holy word. Oh, come then. Come then on your knees. Come then with your guilt. Come then with your filth. Come then with your pollution. Come then just as you are. Wretched, miserable, guilty, filthy, polluted before him. And when we may come in such a way, then there is a promise. Then there is a promise. Hath he said it, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Amen. O Lord of heaven and earth, look upon us. Send thy Spirit. Convince us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Bring us with weeping and with supplications to thy feet. For there is a full and a free remission to be obtained while we are still alive. O, remember us, bless thy word, bless thy sacrament. Bring us safely to our places. Help us in the week to come. Bring us with desire in thy house, also midweek. Help us to bring thy word and all that may bring it in this world. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 4:19, 1 and 2. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. 1 and 2 of 419. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.